This is Mouth Media Network, the business of being heard.
My name is Jillian Wright, and I'm the co-founder of the Indie Beauty Media Group. And when I think about beauty, I think about freedom, and I think about freedom of expression and the ability to feel good within your own body and also to be able to project that feeling to the rest of the world.
The magnitude and impact that a single brand can have on the beauty industry can no longer be ignored. Case in point, Glossier and Kylie Cosmetics. Now imagine the power of assembling a coterie of indie brands. This exceptional, curated event has played a pivotal role in the growth of this market segment and the beauty industry overall. It educates founders on how to break in and build sustainable businesses. It serves as a concierge to leading retailers and fosters meaningful connections. You'll hear how the Indie Beauty Expo came to be and sense and actually feel the passion of this driving force. It's electric.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
I'm Karen Min. I'd love to introduce my co-host, Abby Wallach.
Hi.
So, Jillian, we're so excited to have you here today. I think what you've built has really, you know, with the Indie Beauty Media Group, from the Expos to BeautyX Summit, has really come at a time that's needed for the industry. Can you tell us a little bit more about what it is and what you do?
Indie Beauty Media Group is a multilateral platform to service the beauty entrepreneur and the beauty professional. We had our first expo 4 years ago, but this idea came to me in 2014. We're about to have our fifth show in New York City, but we are now all over the world, including London and Berlin. And within the 4 years, we realized that there were several unmet needs for the smaller independent beauty business owner. So we created the BeautyX Summit, which is our educational platform, and also Beauty Independent, which is our digital publication that also services the beauty industry from an indie perspective. And oftentimes I get asked, what does indie mean? And independent is about ownership. It's not about worth. So we're obviously here and very passionate about scaling and success on all levels, whether it's the service provider, the beauty brand, or the retailer. So we want independent beauty brands to be worth millions and millions of dollars. That's ultimately our goal, is to make those connections, whether it's through education, whether it's through the readership or the expos, those one-on-one networking opportunities.
Can you take us through an actual show of what we would experience, because our audience is people in the industry, the audience that's listening. So can you share sort of the beginning of how you would get involved in the expo and what a day at the expo would be like for an entrepreneur and an indie brand?
Well, I have some very exciting news, and I'll rewind. When we first started the Indie Beauty Expo, for us, logically, it was important to have the consumer there and that essence of discovery. So we have a four-hour shopping experience for the consumer. You fast forward 12, 13 shows and a lot of surveys and a lot of feedback. The brands specifically want to meet people in the industry, mm-hmm. specifically buyers, retailers, influencers, the press. So we have our shows on a Wednesday and a Thursday, so it's during business hours. We would have the consumer event until 9 p.m., but the news is, come New York, we are no longer doing shop indie. We are going strictly B2B. So our Dallas show is our last shop indie event. And I'll tell you why in a second. We are keeping the same time footprint. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the beauty industry and you have to work till 5 or 6, you can still come in and enjoy Indie Beauty Expo up until 9 o'clock on that Wednesday. We usually have a press and influencer and VIP event to kick off the show, and then everybody else is allowed to come in. I think from here on out, everyone will be able to come in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The Thursday of our show is a very typical 9 to 5, 9 to 6 type of schedule. And depending on the show, our New York show is our biggest event. We have between 200 and 300 independent brands from all over the world. Our other shows, London, Berlin, Dallas, and LA, LA is our second largest show, but it is a little smaller, about 170 to 100 brands. And when you come to IBE, it's a bit overwhelming because there's so much innovation and there's so many people to meet and explore and discover. But we want to make sure that everybody is there to do business and to network. So not only are the brands meeting the attendees, but the brands are there to meet each other. So with our shop Indie, because we have retail partnerships with Neiman Marcus, and now we just launched our partnership with Douglas in Europe, we're going to save those consumer pop-up events for the retailers. And that makes more sense to us. The brands at the show, they weren't really interested in selling 10 creams. They really, really wanted to focus on scaling their business. And obviously people in the industry are there to help them. So with that said, we have to stay nimble. We have to stay malleable. And we listen to our audience, everybody that comes. So what we're going to do is we are going to bring the service providers, those companies, those outside sources that help indie brands do better business and help them scale. So right now we're curating a small group of service providers to join us at Indie Beauty Expo New York, and we're calling that Uplink Live. Uplink is our service directory that we have a part of Beauty Independent. So we're bringing that alive, and we can't be more excited about it. So those are just a few of the changes and upgrades that we are making for our new platform.
So what I think, interesting. I mean, you're really at a moment when there's no barriers to entry anymore for someone who wants to start their own business or their brand. So, which is really great that you're filling that need. You also have a very interesting background in how you ended up in this new business, that is really starting to take off for you and for the industry. Can you share with us a little bit about how you ended up launching this and your story? Because I think it's very important for our audience to know.
It was by accident. I was an esthetician and a spa owner for 17 years in New York City. I had a thriving business, an amazing clientele that were my family. And 10 years into my career, when I really became a skin health expert, I decided to start my own skincare line. And I had that mentality that if I built it, they would come. I already had a brick and mortar. I was already, devoted, trustworthy. I thought I had all of the pieces to the recipe. And I was extremely humbled that after spending a lot of money, that aha moment didn't happen like it did when I became an esthetician. Daily Candy wrote about my facials in a newsletter, and that was it. I was booked for the rest
of
for 17 years.
That's amazing.
So, and I was always in this bubble of my spa room. I literally could have been busy 7 days a week if I allowed myself to be. So I never had time to get out there and learn and network and scale who I was as a beauty professional because I was so busy. So I was very humbled by that experience. I decided to do a trade show, and none of them spoke to me in a way. I needed my handheld. I didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't know anything. I was very naive. I will be the first person to admit that. I didn't have any infrastructure. It was just me and my mom as my spa director. And so when I decided to do a show, none of them spoke to me in the way that I, as a small business owner, needed them to, customer service. I was just, I just had that moment where I was walking across Madison Avenue. I got off the bus and I was just like, you know, I won't say the expletive, but I was just like, I'm going to start my own expo. And that was that aha moment. It's one thing to have a great idea, and it's another thing to be able to execute that idea. With that dreamer, you need to have a maker. So Nader Naemi Arad was my facial client at the time. He had been my facial client, devoted, for 5 years. He came to my wedding, to my husband, like real, there was like a real family, you know, sister brotherhood there. Trusted him, told him about my idea in a very kind, professional way, without any, like without any other alternate, like ulterior motive. But then that February of 2015, I said, Nader, you know, I've been doing a lot of research, and I actually found 400 indie brands from around the world in the same position that I'm in. We don't have any way to scale our business. And he goes, oh, okay. And that was the start of our partnership. And 6 months later, we had our first Indie Beauty Expo in Manhattan. That was proof of concept, and we were floored.
With the response.
With the response.
People were just so excited
about it. It was unbelievable. And Indie Beauty Expo at the time, for me, was, it is what it is. It was an independent beauty exposition.
Right.
Somewhere to showcase your brand. And when I had that initial vision in my head, you know, getting off the bus, I saw Tata Harper, Lotus Way, Kahina Giving Beauty, and Tracy Martin all in one room. And I'm like, this doesn't exist. Like, where is my tribe? Where are these other people that inspire me every day in the editorial pages of the magazines back then? And that's when that that moment was like, that's what I want. Because life is about being inspired by other people. You know, you get that feeling. You know, you get that little spark in your heart. And it's something that you can't manufacture. So going to an IBE is electric. Like, you feel that electricity.
You feel the power of the people.
Because it's real.
Right.
Nothing there is manufactured. We don't pay people to go. You go because you want to be there and you want to be inspired and you want to be around all of these other very creative entrepreneurs. Because that's where the magic happens. So all of this was swirling in my head. But trying to sell a show when you've never had a show and you're asking people to pay for something when all you have is gray space is very difficult. But somehow we were able to get 80 brands that first show in a very short period of time. That was incredible.
There was a need.
It was incredible.
Needed a place to be seen and heard.
It was awesome.
That is awesome.
It's amazing.
You should be very proud of yourself for putting together and creating something that's a need for people who really have something to share in
exactly.
the world.
Well, I think it's interesting because if you look at the business of conferences and trade shows, it's actually quite changed a lot, and there's a lot of new entrants, and there's a lot happening in the space right now. People are shifting their models. What's interesting is if you look at the beauty sector, you know, it did start with the need, but you're also helping an ecosystem in a lot of ways, right? So if you look at the Cosmoprofs of the world, which are massive and huge, but there's so much there that the element of curation, which they are doing in different ways, but it's missing, so it's harder for it to stand for one specific thing. But I know on the other side of things, the investors or retailers, you know, are looking for something specific too. So I think there's like this mutual benefit for not only the independent brands and what you're offering them, but the demand has really shifted from the capital markets and then also, you know, the retailers, quite frankly. Everyone, like a lot of our clients are always looking for like, what's the next hot brand? And so it's interesting where the level of focus keeps it. And so what I thought was quite clever about your business and how it has evolved in format is you could have said, okay, here's an Indie Beauty Expo. We're going to expand it to more brands. But actually, like, we're going to go focus and go more deep and meet the needs of our beauty brands and develop other educational formats. So I like the way that you've kind of kept the focus, but it has expanded your business in different ways.
Very much so. We've never, ever said that we're a trade show company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nader is a consultant and I was an esthetician, business owner. And I don't come from the trade show business, but I see things in a way, and there were so many unmet needs that we've built these laterals within our corporation to service the beauty professional and the beauty entrepreneur. And about 18 months into this, I said, Nader, you know, we need a business academy. Like we need to educate these brand founders on how to do business. Because again, I didn't know what I was doing. And there's nothing less powerful than not like being ignorant. And I wanted a forum that we could learn. And that's how Beauty X Summit was sort of morphed into this amazing conference before the expo. And then, you know, there are so many stories that we had to create Beauty Independent because we had to take a deeper dive and not just get like the corner of a column in a bigger publication. We needed to devote like serious journalists on writing about what is happening, not only from the brand perspective, but also from the retailer perspective, the investor, M&A, all of that. And I mean, just to share with you, if we find out a brand is not indie, we won't let them exhibit. Like we will give them their money
back.
And
when you say indie is self-funded.
No, it's ownership. So it has to be 50% owned and operated. So the bigger indie brands, if they do have investment, if they do have venture capital, that's totally fine. So Deciem is I mean, I think the percentage is like 29% Estee Lauder. They would be considered indie as long as it's 50%. And we're very strict about that. And if a brand sneaks in, then we didn't know or they were very sneaky. But
right.
Anyway, we try to keep it as authentic, like 99.99% authentic, because it's very important that people trust us and they continue to trust our platform, because we truly every single day try to figure out how to breed success. And that's when we realized that retailers were needing our help too. This is like 2016, 2017. So our conversations and our friendship started to shift to that part of the industry. Like, hey, you guys need independent brands because all of these assortments are starting to look cookie cutter. And based on the conversations I was having with really big retailers and their method of trying to find indie brands, I was like, oh, wow, that's so uncool.
Yeah.
Like this, like they can't like go to a smaller, like very popular clean beauty retailer and just copy what they're carrying. There's so much innovation out there that no two retail curations ever have to be the same ever again. You just have to put the work into it. And that's where Indie Beauty Expo comes in. You come in and you're like, oh, we went to Berlin recently. We just had our show in March. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, Germany is like the epicenter of business, right? Mm-hmm. And the appreciation we felt from the retailers and from the press and even the brands, thank you so much for coming here. Mm. Was just great for us. I was like, wow, you know, cool. Like, but we're just very laser focused on growing the geographical footprint so more people and more retailers can come in and do business.
So that's very interesting to me on a global scale, because each conference is very unique to the environment that it's in, right?
Yeah.
So when you're in Berlin or in Dallas or in London, wherever the show may be, the buyers in those countries are looking for something different than they may be in New York. Is that or are they buying? Because I know, you know, if you're a store based in the South, your market's different than the market in the Northeast. It just
very,
is.
Very
your customer.
Very true.
Right. So tell us about that a little bit, because it really is a different market, I would think.
They are different. I mean, this is a loaded question because we obviously want the retailers to go on tour with us. But you're, I mean, we would love for the buyers to come to every one of our shows, and some of them do. But it doesn't really make sense for Le Bon Marché to maybe come to Dallas, maybe LA, but really to focus on like our London and our Berlin shows because most of the brands are EU registered.
Right.
You know, and they want to partner with brands that already have, you know, passed that hurdle. We are making it easier for US brands mm-hmm. to become EU registered, which is really great. So we're now opening that gate for them if they want to think about global distribution, where before, again, it's like, where do I go? Who do I talk to? Who do I trust? Like, what's the cost? And really, and I would ask these questions and you would get a different answer from everybody you spoke to. So we're trying to create this, again, self-sustaining ecosystem. So if a US brand wants to go to London or Berlin, but in Dallas, there's a higher concentration of independent beauty stores, salons, spas, resorts. In LA, we get, it's like a, I don't want to say a mini New York, but we get massive buyers from Target to Whole Foods to, you know, Douglas. Like they'll come to our shows regardless because there's always something new.
Right.
There's always something new. There's about 30% of the I won't say legacy brands, but the brands also go on tour with us. But it's not redundant.
So let me just ask you a question. When a buyer is at one of the shows, are they in the know before they come to the show of who will be there? Is there a system that you have in place? So it's because it is such a big show and there are so many exciting things to see. How, you know, is it just like a trade show where they're walking the floor and seeing what's available? Can they set up appointments in advance? Like, tell us a little bit about that process and what does that look like for the entrepreneur so they know they're going to get some real interest or at least targeted conversation?
Every retailer is different in a way that they have specific things that they're looking for. So ahead of every show, we do an audit of all of the brands and put together a beautiful presentation on all the different touch points that are interesting and important to a retailer, their price points, their categories, you know, if they're transparent, if they're EU registered. We put together a PDF that helps them navigate. So brands have to understand that everybody has an opportunity, but it really depends on what that particular buyer is looking for. So I have a team and they offer concierge. So we are very close to a lot of the retailers and we'll ask them, would you like a tour? I've been given, I mean, there are days where my whole day is booked with private tours. Mm. And I listen to what the retailers want. And because we know the brand so intimately, we can help them navigate through the show floor and target exactly what they're looking for at that particular time.
That's very interesting service to provide.
It's very personable.
Right.
Let's go into snack time. So what did you bring for us today?
Well, when I learned I had to bring a snack, and it's funny because we were just talking about my daughter being a vegan. I live in Brooklyn. I live in Carroll Gardens, and I live in a very concentrated area of Italians. My husband is Italian-American, and, you know, the guys are still coming out with their lawn chairs and hanging out all day, and they know everybody. They know when your car needs to be moved and all of that. And I live very close to an incredible bakery called Mazzola's. And Mazzola's is famous not only for their epic croissants that you can smell at 3 o'clock in the morning, but they have something called lard bread. I know it sounds gross. It's the most delicious bread you've ever had. So at 6 o'clock this morning, I went and I got a fresh loaf.
Wow. And
it is very indicative of the neighborhood that I live in.
Oh, that's so nice.
And it's so yummy. And that's what I brought. And it's delicious enough that you can have by itself. But I think my daughter would kill me because she's now a vegan and it's got a little
no
bit of
lard bread in your house.
It reminds me, I studied in Firenze in Florence, and like they had the secret bakery that would open at like 5 a.m. And so people would, I mean, I was in college, so we'd like go out till 5 and go to the secret bakery before.
That's fun. Yeah.
But they were just getting, you know, ready for the morning and like, you know, cooking everything for the day or baking everything for the day.
Love that.
Have you watched the movie Moonstruck?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Love
well, that happened. Well, that movie takes place in my neighborhood. And
Really?
Unfortunately, Camerari's is no longer there. It's now an organic, like, roasted chicken shop.
Yeah.
But Mazzola's was the competitor to Camerari's. So, you know, when you go to Mazzola's, it's like that very authentic kind of like the Italian cookies behind the glass.
I love that.
And it's just really nice. It's really, it's
very
a real
comforting,
very, very comforting place. So I thought I'd share their lard bread with you.
Thank you for bringing that.
Thank
Can't
you.
Wait.
Are you going to dig into that?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's see what it looks like.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We should totally
take a picture. Wow. Right out of the oven, freshly baked.
Right out of the oven.
That's amazing.
So we always get a loaf or two for the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And since my husband's family is Italian, it's something that it's like a staple at our dinner table.
That's so nice.
So up next, we'll dive into understanding more about the impact that indie beauty is having on the overall market and the ins and outs and the patterns that Jillian is seeing in as this industry shifting.
Here comes Makeup in New York, the only and unique B2B makeup event at your doorstep. The next edition, September 11th and 12th in New York City at Center 415. Makeup in New York is a unique place where you can find from alpha to omega every piece of a makeup and skincare product and make your own line. Advised and guided by the savoir-faire of the most qualified experts in the beauty industry. Whatever your project is, you can find the best contact there. You can ask for an invitation on the show's website, makeupinnewyork.com.
So Jillian, I thought it was really interesting that you were talking about how your business was really taking off, you know, a few years ago. And it's interesting because the numbers show it, too. The market is changing. The beauty market is growing, but, you know, the year after you guys were really kind of building the business and taking off, in 2018, indie beauty brands had 42% growth, while the overall beauty market was stagnant. So this is – it clearly means that the market is indie beauty brands are taking market share. It's clearly consumer-led, but there's so much more happening. There's so many new entrants in this space. Talk to us about the patterns you're seeing in the market.
When we first started in 2015, we saw a pattern of what we then called clean and green. And then we realized, well, what is clean and green? What is natural? What is organic? So there's a lot of like chatter about what that really is. How are the ingredients harvested and processed? And what does that, is that processed? Not necessarily clean or toxic. But indie for us is really about ownership, like I said, but predominantly you will find more transparency within the independent beauty space. So not only are these brands, you know, the founders, you get to see where the ingredients are coming from. Oftentimes these founders are supporting their local farmers and local suppliers, which is amazing. So that effect has reverberated through the entire industry. I was just at InCosmetics in Paris, and the catchword phrase, everything was sustainability and natural. And so this whole thing about getting cleaner beauty products is definitely something that the entire industry is listening to with very, very big ears. Indie brands are very nimble and they're very, very quick, and they can bring things to market much faster than a bigger company, a legacy company. So that has its positives and not so much negatives, but, you know, we'll stick with the positives. And what we do is we do an audit of our exhibitors every single show. We're talking to them, we're researching, we're building this database and this presentation so we are better educated to speak to our attendees and our retailers. But what it also does is that it helps us determine and see trends happening very quickly. So, you know, CBD right now is like this, it's going to be like a it is already a multi-billion dollar industry. Well, we were seeing that 2 years ago.
Right.
And the industry wasn't.
I mean, it's supposed to grow 40x yes. over the next 5 years. It's insane. Yeah.
And it will.
Yeah.
But we were seeing that like in 2016. We're like, oh, well, you know, CBD.
And then right. Actually, I found my first CBD oil at your show, I think 2 or 3 years ago.
Well,
when you started.
We had maybe one or two brands.
Right. That's all you had. Now you have like 20.
We'll have like, you know, a dozen to 20 brands every single show that has some sort of CBD ingredient. That's incredible. Feminine hygiene, FemHigh, mm-hmm. huge. Well, we were seeing that a long time ago. So these are things that we are able to identify at the show. And because I have the team to collect the data, to tell the stories, and we publish trend reports after every single show. And because we're doing so much research ahead of the show and then at the show, and then our trend reports are also visual. We have our own in-house MarCom and filmographer that goes to every single show. We're able to publish this information not only in a document, but also in a visual way. Everything we do is very high end and very beautiful. Like that's very much like our aesthetic. So what's very, very important is no matter how much research you do ahead of a show, you have to have that one-on-one communication and connection with the brand. Sometimes you'll be attracted to a brand, and yet at the show, they're launching new packaging or they're launching a new SKU. And you're like, that's really innovative, like a deodorant serum. Haven't heard of a deodorant serum before, you know, and I want to say, oh, you should have told us this, ahead of time.
So
but sometimes they don't know. They just don't know. So it's so
that's
important.
An indie for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's that, you know, the dreamer and the maker. And within indie, the majority of indies have no infrastructure and they have less than 3 employees. But so what? That can change. If somebody has a great idea and a vision and the drive for success, they're going to be successful and they need us to help them get there. You can't do it alone.
Yeah.
So another thing, which is so crazy, is that we know the successful brands, Au Naturel with their partnership with Whole Foods or 1821 Man Made going into Ulta. There are a lot of like massive success stories. Body Beauty, it's the butt mask, the butt sheet mask. She launched at Credo, but now she's going into Ulta. These are huge wins for us, even if we don't get recognized, because I know that they made those connections at IBE. But then we're hearing, because our client business development team, which is our exhibitor side, they'll say, you know, oh my God, I can only do London because I'm so busy. I can't go to your New York show because we're just so busy with all of the relationships that we made at you know, the show last year. And I'm like, and this literally happened yesterday. And I was like, wow, that's so cool that the brands, even when we have nothing to do with it, they're there and they're making these relationships on their own. I'm like, we've succeeded. Like that to me is like my notch in my belt, is that these brands are communicating and connecting with the beauty industry as a whole without my help. I love that.
That's amazing. So it's interesting. One of the things you mentioned is like going to an IBE is electric because of the founders and because of like, because we're talking about visionaries, right? And that's where you really do see new ideas come up and like kind of going against the grain and the need to create something different. So like, I want to kind of take a step back and think about what are your thoughts in the overall market? There's a lot of debate on fashion, beauty, healthcare, wellness, that the days of billion-dollar brands are gone and that we're going to have so many new niche, you know, with the barriers to entry lower, that niche brands that are speaking to their specific audience with like another level of authenticity. And then on the flip side, you have retailers who are looking for newness as well. What are your thoughts on the sustainability of several more brands versus all these just big ones? That, like, what does the future of the beauty industry look like from a brand perspective?
Social media has changed everything. And I think we all know that because you are able to connect firsthand with a brand and a brand founder. And it's all about how are you going to part with your money?
Definitely.
And when you have $20 and you can spend it on a company that you know is supporting ocean conservation or that local farmer, or you just really like the person, you're going to give that person that $20 over a brand with no name or no face. And it's really the consumer has so much power today, especially the younger generations. The way they buy and their psychology is very, very different. And because our world has become so two-dimensional with our smartphones, like that human interaction and that human touch and that human communication and like what we're doing today is so vital to our existence. And independent beauty allows people in this very two-dimensional world connect where it becomes four-dimensional because you're adding that emotion to it.
You know, it's so interesting now that you're saying that, because people follow the brand, but they're also following the founders in some sense, right?
And they're championing, yes. You know, it's they want, if they like what they're doing, they want them to succeed.
Yeah. I just met this woman at this Nest sale, like the Nest fragrances. She's like, oh, I saw the founder speak, so I was just interested. And we're like both like talking about the diffusers and candles. And stuff.
No, but that's a great thing because that's what has changed so dramatically, is that now everyone has a say. Everyone's talking about it. So it really changes the entire concept and the whole game of, you know, building a business. Think about all the younger generation, what it's creating for the future to inspire, you know, the young girl who has an idea sitting in her, you know, bedroom playing with her dolls and her lip gloss and saying, maybe I, you know, can have my own business like she has.
Well, you know, I thought it was so interesting that you were talking about the what counts for you guys as indie beauty, because the definition can be broad, but the ownership percent, because then it really is curating. Well, one, there's constant newness, and then it's curating a certain group where, you know, if you like now a lot of the big CPG brands and a lot of the larger companies are incubating brands that have the feel and look and feel like a direct-to-consumer company. Mm-hmm. You know, it has an Instagrammable look and da-da-da-da-da. But like those we would never see at an indie beauty expo, right?
No.
Right.
But they are our friends.
And of course.
We love when they come.
Absolutely.
And we love having coffee with them and showing them around. And they are very welcome. They're welcome, you know, to subscribe to Beauty Independent and see all the information and the data and the trend reports, because the trend reports do live behind a paywall. You know, we have to pay our staff.
Of course.
But I think there's a place for everybody. But when it comes to the consumer parting with their dollar, I know, you know, for myself, I would rather spend my money with a company that I know would appreciate it. I keep, like when we're talking here, I think about some of the brand founders that I love, or even the retailers that I love. And I think about Sarah Villanfranco, who is the founder of Osmia. She lives in Carbondale, Colorado, and she has the most beautiful, clean beauty line. And she's a doctor by trade. And she does all these Instagram stories, and her hair is going gray, and she like totally owns it. And she's funny, but she's really smart. And it's like, I just love watching her. And I think to myself, oh my God, well, when I'm ready to buy, you know, people gifts, I'm going to give her my money. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like
psychology. It's a lot of
the cause and effect of beauty. And beauty is supposed to make you feel good. It's supposed to elevate you. It's supposed to give you that sense of freedom and that sense of expression where nobody judges you. And I love that about the whole beauty industry as a whole, where, you know, indie is not contrived. Like I said, you walk in and your experience is very different than your experience, but that commonality is that electricity that we all create Even the big beauty executives, it doesn't matter. It's like we're all there for the common greater good of success.
Right. Well, right. I guess what I was saying is I think it brings focus to the growth in your business.
Sure.
And the need, because I don't see the need for – I don't see the need for – more and more beauty brands are going to be created. Like, that's a given, I think. I don't think this is a fad. And I think the need for what you're building isn't going to go away. So the focus around the ownership kind of keeps that, like, the elements and the franchises you're building, it really speaks to that person that needs the support and the help and understanding the education platform. So I think, like, that focus on the exhibitor side on ownership will always attract that base and keep the focus of the media business,
sure,
like, focused, you know what I mean? Otherwise, it's easy to kind of grow into this thing and you lose like what it stands for. Yeah, that's the thought I was thinking. Because then if you always have this kind of infrastructure that's helping to support that part of the industry, then we're going to see continued growth. Because like as an investor in the space, you know, in the early days when there wasn't that much happening, it was really hard to see brands get into distribution. I think that's changing, but it's also really hard to see a brand go past that $20 million mark,
right?
And so I think things like this really help funnel that
absolutely
part of the
that's
market.
Why we have
also
BDX.
Global and globally also,
right,
because
right, right,
there's
sure
such a huge market. I mean, the United States is just one small piece, and outside it's – but then you're getting into all of the regulatory, and there's such a, yep, a whole other aspect of
sure
the business. So the fact that you're educating and the
– very important.
So important, because yep that's a whole other business. It's a whole other business model that you have to know about.
Like
to,
without
to
this infrastructure, it'd
right
be hard for this ecosystem of the beauty market to continue to grow, right? You'd see
exactly
more failures without
right
–
there's more of a chance of success,
right?
To
right
have
right
the foundation and the mm-hmm information and the
and
access.
That's why we're adding Uplink Live to our New York show, because it's so important to partner with service providers that can help you scale. And back in the day when I was looking for packaging, I would talk to companies that would do minimums of 25,000,
right?
And for an indie, there were a lot of problems with that. One, you know, where am I going to put
right
it?
How am I going to pay for it?
You know, why am I going to fill all these bottles and have them sit there and then go bad? So we're really trying to find other companies that will support the indie brands, because ultimately it supports the – it's a total domino effect.
Well, right, it is right a domino.
It's yes a domino effect too.
And it's a monopoly a little bit too.
Well, it doesn't – I don't I see things very differently. I mean, I see the world through rose-colored glasses, so failure is not a part of my repertoire. I don't care. There's enough room for everybody, and that's – you know, it can get people – my attitude can get people in trouble or not, but I'm, like, laser-focused on the success of this sector of the industry so much that I will do anything for that success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's great that you're championing that, because it is one of the bigger challenges with the indie brands to be able to scale and to watch their dollars. And if you don't have the audience to sell to, and then you have all of the inventory because you had to buy that level of packaging, it is a challenge.
Or the basics of just business.
It's the
really
basics
hard. Like,
that's
just
right
starting a business is hard enough as it is, the administrative, the financials, and not a one-person team or three-person team is just not going to have that knowledge base. And so to – I mean, people – like, I've seen amazing stories and I've seen really sad stories where if they don't have some knowledge, you know, of understanding, like, you can really save, you know – trauma.
but yeah, if you can, but as an organization, if you're empowering a lot of that sort of cross hybridization, or to work with companies so they can be a better service provider to these indie brands, it's a very, very valuable service, because everyone has to change a little bit with the current environment. Otherwise, they'll have a hard time.
Sure.
You know, everyone has to change and pivot, no matter how big you are.
Absolutely.
To meet the need of the business today, the customer today, the media. It all, it's a whole, it's like an ecosystem,
yeah,
right?
Even
it all
with
works
us
together.
Yeah. What we were doing 3 years ago is not working. Mm. So we constantly have to change and we constantly have to be ahead.
And that's a positive though. That's life.
Absolutely.
That's,
and it's like a lot of discipline because it's you're actually ahead of the curve on the consumer shows, right? Like you, because like now it's a very hot sector, but I think you're sticking to your core, which I think is amazing and very needed. But like if you look at the beauty cons, sneaker cons, curvy cons, like that's like this whole new unique and interesting market, but like separate, you know, and different.
Well, I think everyone has to have their niche.
Yeah,
right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for me, it's all about success and doing business. And as a previous skincare brand owner and spa owner, I was like, okay, where am I going to spend my time and where am I going to spend my money and what's my ROI? What am I going to get for it? So I wanted to make sure that we had a platform where brands got something from spending the time and spending the money and, you know, their resources in being with us in whatever city we're in. That was very important to me.
Sure.
How do you think about, like, one of the greatest challenges I've seen, nice problem to have, is for the beauty brands that get into just, you know, distribution at a Target or an Ulta, but then they don't know how to scale with the business. And on the retailer side, I think there's also an element and a responsibility to have more discipline around growth. Like, how are you thinking about helping brands navigate to that? And it's not necessarily your responsibility, but it's something you see time and time again.
Happening.
Right.
You know, they are reaching different pinnacles in their growth. And they're like, okay, how am I going to do this partnership? Because now I need more money. It is an issue. Mm-hmm. So you've got the indies over here, and then you have the big retailers over here. And the way the big retailers might have been doing business 2 or 3 years ago, they have to meet the indies in the middle order for this to work. They have to be open to conversations, especially if they really, really want a brand, because indie brands will die. They will go under if they are not supported in the way that they need to for growth. That is a subject, that is a topic, that is something that is that never-ending question.
Mm-hmm. And do you think...
And it's different for everybody.
Right, totally.
Do you think the retailers are... I would think they're aware of it. Are they thinking about these things? Are they... Is it important to them? Because, you know, at the end of the day, if there's success and people, their customers loving a brand, they want that brand to succeed.
But when you overinvest in inventory, right, or they like expand too much and it's not good for anyone, that can like be detrimental to a founder. Like the working capital needs to support 10 stores versus 100 stores. And if they don't put the backing behind those 100 stores in the space and the co-marketing to that, like if the retailer's not supporting that, then you can end up with a really big problem for a founder.
You basically nailed it. The retailers have to have and give support.
Right.
So no matter what, there has to be some sort of marketing calendar or some sort of timeline to breed success.
Right.
A brand is not going to go into a retailer, pop in there, and all of a sudden they're successful.
Yeah, you can't expect that. Right. Like, think about all the brands.
That's the first step, is getting that acceptance. And going back to what you said, I mean, we have relationships now with Douglas and Neiman Marcus and Feel Unique, because these huge retailers want indie and they want to learn and they want to figure out how to make it work. And I'll tell you, I mean, a part of that recipe is definitely the marketing and the support the retailer gives the brands. 100%. They're gone are the days that you just pop into a retailer and expect success. It doesn't work that way. You're now just beginning that serious journey.
Well, retail has changed so much. And, you know, even just having the new Neiman Marcus, having Neiman Marcus in New York City, that's exciting. You know, but they have an opportunity. They have an opportunity to inform the consumer, to entertain the consumer, to really create an environment that's an experience. And even though, and I'm like a diehard digital media, you know, person, personally and professionally, you still can't touch and feel it. And you want to, especially in beauty. You want to feel something. You want to look at the color. You want to play with the swivel stick. You want to feel the texture. So I think that there's a huge opportunity at retail if they can wrap their head around working with people like you and your business and the indies in a way that breeds success for everybody.
On that note, I think one of the things you mentioned earlier that I would love to like kind of dig into a little bit more is the idea that in the future that no assortment needs to look exactly the same, that there's so much out there that every retailer can have a unique curated experience, which right, to be honest, right now with a lot of the prestige marketplace or mass isn't. They all kind of look the same. They all kind of have right. the same brands. What is the future you envision for what the retail part mm-hmm. of the industry looks like now that there are so many of these amazing brands? Imagine that they are more – there's hundreds more brands that could be sustainable because of your organization. What does the future look like?
Well, I came from the spa industry. And one of the things I said as a clinical esthetician is that nothing will ever replace human touch. And we need that. But then we're also in this amazing time where beauty tech and AI is just infiltrating in like rapid speed. So how do you combine the two? And I think that's the future of beauty and that's the future of retail. It's not just one and it's not just the other. There has to be this formidable way that they come together that, again, makes the end user feel good and also informed and educated. And it's out there, but we're at that pinnacle where now we're just trying to wrap and make a DNA strand between the two.
And it's starting, though. It's starting.
It is definitely
Macy's
starting.
With Story is great. I mean, people are...
Credo.
Right. They're all starting to get there. So it's good.
I love Story. That whole concept is...
It's a great concept.
Yeah, Rachel's really
special. She did a good job.
Amazing. But Credo is taking their chat to a whole new level mm-hmm. where if you write them a question on their website, it goes directly to one of their sales associates. And that to me is brilliant because you're actually talking to a real human.
Mm. It's not just like a pop-up or service provider.
No. And that person could actually go around the store with you and show you different colors, show you what
it
looks
fun.
Like. It's amazing.
And is that through technology? Is there a technology on the website?
But they are – Credo Beauty is fusing that human element and experience with tech.
You know, it's so interesting because so much – we have such great talent in the retail stores. And it's like very few people like take advantage of it. I mean, I think Sephora now in their more recent social campaigns, it's like – you know, people, their own people are doing the post. Right. Benefit has always done that with their employees. But we have this amazing, like, human capital talent in our store associates.
It's so true.
But, like, it's like
true.
They're so
it's
under.
It's tricky, though. It's tricky.
You know, utilize. I just think it's an interesting opportunity.
It's
I love
tricky
this
because
that you're
they don't all want to be a talent or a media, but, you know, not everyone wants to be a face or a
true.
Brand. Or,
true.
So it's very challenging.
But they all have their clients.
They do have
they
their clients.
They all have their clients. And with technology or just something that I was seeing in our pop-ups at Neiman's is that you've got these associates that are either working with a particular brand mm-hmm. and they're very brand loyal. But with us coming in on their turf, and we're very, very respectful, I saw associates connecting with certain brands that we had at our pop-up per se. And they would take their phone, they would start photographing, they would start sharing on social media, calling their customers that might not have been able to make it into the mm-hmm. store, you know, putting the brand founders
well,
on
is
FaceTime.
Great about
that's
that.
But
Neiman's
it was really nice to see that one, they were open enough to welcome the indies into their environment and into their selling space. But also to see even at that remedial level of our smartphone technology. But that's what kind of Credo Beauty is doing, is taking
that
and they're able to create a whole new level of client retention.
Because if you think about it, they're all beauty junkies at heart, right?
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Who doesn't love to feel beautiful?
So on that note, I'd love to learn more about you in our next section. Up next, we're going to get personal with Jillian.
Entrepreneurista, a woman who organizes and operates a business, taking on greater than normal financial risks in order to do so.
One who has a drive, passion, and vision with an undying determination to succeed.
She is fiercely motivated, ambitious, and competitive. forging her own path to independence and success.
That's an entrepreneurista.
Through the conversations on the Entrepreneurista podcast, we want to celebrate failures, reflect on successes, and get unfiltered about what it takes to be your own boss. This is the Entrepreneurista podcast, presented by Socialfly.
It's the best business meeting you'll ever have, with must-hear real-life looks at how leading women in business are getting it done
and what it takes to build and grow a successful company. It's beyond the gram,
with no filters,
no limits, and plenty of surprises. Check out all our latest episodes at entrepreneuristapodcast.com.
And now, it's Hitting the Pan.
This is one of our favorite parts of the show where we are hitting the pan. And the same way we get to the bottom of our, you know, favorite beauty products, we want to get to know you more. You're obviously very electric, and there's a clear passion and authenticity around what you're doing. So this is a section where we get to ask you personal questions.
Okay.
So we've spent some time yes. together in L.A. and in Brooklyn, Dumbo. And now here. And I know that you have four children.
I have two of my own kids and then two stepkids.
So tell us and our audience, what is a day in the life of Jillian when you're not working? And I'm assuming you're working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Of course you do.
We are 100% devoted to our kids because they're super fun and interesting. I have a stepdaughter in college and then two kids who are in 10th grade, my daughter and my husband's son. And then my 10-year-old boy. Oh, he's just amazing. We have family dinner. I cook for them all the time, and it's a safe space for them to express themselves. I'm very open and very honest with them, and so they get to see and experience real emotion, which is, I think, very important for the younger generations that are attached to their smartphone. I love Pure Barre. I love. If I wasn't in the beauty industry, I'd probably own a Pure Barre studio. Like, I'm a diehard. It makes me feel so good. So I try to sneak in a workout. I try to eat well, but every once in a while I'll have a bacon, egg, and cheese or lard bread.
And that bread, that yes. yummy bread you brought. So,
but my hobby, I think, is cooking and baking and making yummy food for my family. And I'm also a Well and Good Council member. So,
well, what's that?
They have a council that share expertise through nutrition, skincare, mental health, women's health. And I'm in that, like, the skincare expert realm. And they just came out with a cookbook, and I was chosen to be one of the contributors to the cookbook. And I have this really great 10-ingredient reset salad, but you can really add any 10 ingredients that you want in the salad. So it encourages people to eat better and eat healthier with a little bit more diversity in what they're putting in their salad.
Mm. What's the 10 ingredient?
It could be anything, any type of greens, seeds, beans, radishes, beets, anything, carrots. It's whatever you like. I live a pretty simple life because I can't do what I do without having some sort of sacrifice. So I don't typically go out at night. We have such a lively household that we have fun watching Game of Thrones or Veep. So when I do go out at night, I actually am reminded of how much fun I used to have.
But you still have a 10-year-old, so.
Yes. But I love to travel. I really love to travel. So going to Europe because of IBE is just a blessing, because then I can tack on an additional trip somewhere. And I love being that representation to my kids. I really want to give them the best opportunity at life possible. And that to me is success as well. Yeah, I think that's, oh, I mean, a little, I mean, weird. I like to play Candy Crush.
Everyone has their guilty pleasure.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of my guilty pleasures. I like to zone out and just play Candy Crush like 10 minutes before I go to bed. And
good for you. Yeah. That's great. I love
and,
that.
And I wear L'Oreal mascara. It's the best. That's like I'm not totally, you know, clean and green. I do have my guilty pleasures, and I did find a mascara that I love, and it's L'Oreal.
Good mascara is good mascara.
It is. I used it this morning.
So here's my question for you. So you've mentioned cooking quite a bit. It sounds like it's a passion of yours, yes?
I like it. I find it very relaxing. Mm-hmm. And I like to know what's in my food. I like to know what I'm eating. And it's creative. I have a degree in fine art, actually. And I didn't go that route. I ended up obviously becoming an esthetician and a business owner. But I find that it's something that brings people together. And I like that community aspect of like a intimate dinner party.
Yeah. So this is my question then. Perfect segue. Imagine that you're hosting a dinner party. What does it look like? Walk me through the experience. And obviously we are invited.
Oh, of course.
But absolutely. Like, what is the decor? What's the theme? What's the food? What, how do you imagine it? I just imagine it'd be like this amazing thing. Just if it has any element of the thoughtfulness you put around, put behind the expo, I can imagine it being awesome. I can imagine you being an awesome entertainer.
It's interesting because my husband and I are very simple people and we're not fancy. Mm-hmm. And the first level of our brownstone is the kitchen. And then there's like this play area for the kids and the hamsters. And then we have an outdoor space, which we take a lot of pride in our plants and our garden. So in the summertime, my staff, which is predominantly women, we have a few guys, but they love and they're all millennials and they all love to come over because they know that it's so welcoming. And you know, when you walk into that home and you just feel that you can kick back, take off your shoes and relax and not feel like you're going to ruin something, that's our house. It's a very friendly, so it's not full of crazy decor. I mean, we have an island in the middle of the kitchen and it seats six people. Like we just sit in these cheapo IKEA chairs. And honestly, there was one time where I ended up having 17 people at my house and I only had enough food for like half that amount, but we just made it work. We just made it happen. Around New Year's, we used to have an all day Lord of the Rings marathon. So we would watch from the beginning to the end. It was from 9:30 in the morning till 9:30 at night. I would serve. I would have a Bloody Mary bar, and I would make breakfast food, and then we'd have lunch.
Entertainer, I just knew.
And then we would have dinner, and then we would have people swanning in and out of our house, and we'd set up the parlor floor like a movie theater.
Oh, cute!
And at one time, we had like a very small, like 42-inch television. Now it's bigger, but you know, and we just love that sense of just, yeah, come on over. My best friend, she knows that if she's going to come over, like she has to bring pajamas because she's going to sleep over. Like it's just, that's the kind of house.
Who's cleaning up?
I'm a cleaner-upper as I goer.
That's smart.
And of course I have, you know, my Chris will help clean up and whatnot, but that's the kind of house we have.
That's lovely.
Mismatched plates. You know, and
eclectic,
just nothing fancy, because that's where like the true essence of somebody's human side comes out, is when they can be totally relaxed.
And it's also very much about community. I love it.
It is.
Yeah. Well, we're coming, so let us know.
I can't wait.
So, Julian, do you have any like final thoughts for our listeners?
Having conversations like this with you gets me so jazzed and so excited, and it really does validate what we're doing and all the hard work that Nader and our team puts into forging this segment of the industry ahead. And there's so much more for us to learn and uncover. We are just scratching the surface. Oftentimes I get people who are like, congratulations, wow. And I'm like, honestly, no, not yet. Like, wait, just wait. So I feel like there's so much more we have to do and that we are just scratching the surface. But I have eyes in the back of my head and the side of my head. And if there's an unmet need, I'm going to find it.
Well, we know you are.
We're on your team. And we're not afraid of hard work, but we are here to work smarter. My director of operations says work smarter, not harder, but Nader and I we're more than happy to put in the hard work to breed success.
So what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch?
They can go to indiebeautyexpo.com if they want to attend one of our shows. If they want to attend one of our educational summits, it's beautyxsummit.com. Or if they want to read Beauty Independent, they can go to Beauty Independent. You get 5 free articles a month. But if you're really enjoying it, you can support what we're doing and buy a subscription at Beauty Independent. Or just do all 3 and come on tour with us.
Sounds great.
The more the merrier.
Thank you so much for spending time with us. And thank you for your contribution to helping this important part of the beauty industry thrive.
It's my pleasure.
And thank you, Abby, for being an amazing co-host, as always.
So great to be here. Thank you.
This is Karen Moon, and we look forward to seeing you guys on the next show. Hugs and kisses.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network, copyright 2019. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network, and find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Mouth Media Network, the business of being heard.